as we study it. I pray this in His name. Amen. I'd like to begin by welcoming those of you who are worshiping with us, both by the speakerphone and means of the tapes. And service today is coming from beautiful Coon Valley again in the Village Hall, where it seems like we're having kind of a spring day from what we've been having. At least the temperatures used to be in the 20 degree below zero bracket last week, and now it's up to about 13 above. That almost seems like spring in comparison. I guess over in Minnesota they're having a lot of snow, and the wind is coming from there, so we can expect that tonight. I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with us to Revelation chapter 6. We're about to study one of the most exciting chapters in the whole book. Having shown us what was happening in heaven around that throne, the Holy Spirit now shifts our attention to what is going on back on the earth. You recall the scene in chapter 5. There was this throne in heaven surrounded by the beautiful emerald rainbow. And on that throne, the Creator God was sitting, holding in His right hand a book or a scroll that was sealed with seven seals. And this scroll was a title deed to the whole earth. And John, as he watched, was waiting for someone to be found worthy to come and open the book. And a strong angel stood there next to the throne and asked the question, "Who is worthy to open the book?" But no one was found. And it looked then as if those who had usurped the earth and the world and taken it over, Satan and his wicked ones, were going to continue to control it, and that things were going to keep getting worse and worse and worse. And John wept. But then one of the elders told him, "Weep not. There was one found who was worthy to open the book. He was described as being of the Lion of the tribe of Judah, a branch of David." But as John watched, it wasn't a lion that came up to the throne to take the book. It was a lamb, as it had been slain, and yet standing there, still having the death wounds, but fully alive. The Lord Jesus, the Son of God, the Lamb of God that shed His blood to take away the sins of the world and buy back the whole creation and rightfully claim what was His. So He came and took the book, and now in chapter 6 the seals start to be opened. Some of the younger members of our congregation are pretty excited right now, because in the opening verses of Revelation chapter 6 there are some horses. In fact, we see horses prancing around all over the place as we first get started. The first four seals, as they're opened, reveal horses. And each of the first four seals is introduced by one of those four, what the King James calls, beasts, but they're living beings that surrounded the throne. The opening verses of Revelation chapter 6 are some of the most well-known verses in all Holy Scripture. Artists have painted pictures of this, pictures which they entitle The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. And as the seals are open, six of them are going to be opened in Revelation chapter 6. But the first four, as they're opened, reveal horses. The first seal is opened, and a white horse comes forth with his rider. The second seal is opened, and a red horse comes forth with his rider. The third seal is opened, and a black horse comes forth with his rider. The fourth seal is opened, and a pale horse comes forth with his rider. And these riders are sent to travel throughout the world and do their thing. For centuries, mankind has envisioned and hoped for a kind of utopia. an era when the whole world would be prosperous and be at peace. Revelation chapter 6 shatters this dream completely to pieces. It ain't gonna happen. And it reveals that what the children of God can expect here on this earth is bitter persecution and suffering until the final day of judgment comes, when Jesus Christ comes back for his second coming. There's no thought here whatsoever of any millennium or thousand-year reign of Christ here on this earth where everything comes up roses. We have here an illustration of the truth that we read in the epistle reading for today. We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. The sermon today is going to be of quite a different sort. What we're going to do is have kind of a flash forward. We're going to look at the whole chapter of Revelation 6 in brief outline form, and then, God willing, starting with next week, go back and look at the details. We're going to be comparing the chapter with Matthew chapter 4, the opening verses of that. And we've printed in your bulletin, which should be hopefully very helpful to you, especially this morning and also in the coming weeks, an outline which shows the parallelism between Matthew chapter 24 and Revelation 6. The outline is a product of Dr. Becker, who was a professor at the Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary, not during the time that I was there, but shortly after I graduated, he came. When I was there, however, he was teaching at a college in Milwaukee. I believe it was Wisconsin Lutheran College. I'm not sure of the name. And during that time, he held a night course on Revelation. Several of us from the seminary went down to take the course. And the outline came from that course. In Matthew chapter 24, the Savior answers the question by the disciples, "What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And there's a remarkable parallel between Matthew chapter 24 and Revelation chapter 6 that cannot be by chance. And it should enable us to get the correct interpretation of Revelation chapter 6. We're going to ask you right now to open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 6, put one finger in there, and go back to Matthew chapter 24, put another finger in there. And we're going to be going back and forth for a little while. Starting with Matthew chapter 24. "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple." This temple, seemingly, was one of the most beautiful structures in the whole world. It had been built by Herod, and it was actually not completed yet. Now, Herod had been building it for more than 40 years, I believe 46 if I'm not mistaken. And it evidently was a thing of great beauty. And the disciples wanted to give the Son of God a guided tour. He turned down the invitation and didn't seem the least bit affected by all the outward beauty that the disciples were seeing. "And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Son of God was peering into the future some 40 years after his own crucifixion, when the judgment of God was going to fall very, very heavily on the city of Jerusalem and also the temple. The scene that unfolded there has been described by an eyewitness as the most terrible scene that has ever unfolded upon the face of the earth. Romans came into the country and tore everything apart. Came to Jerusalem, started burning the city after they'd torn the walls down. Came to the temple and started tearing it down and burning it with fire. There were a small group of Jewish people that really felt that God was going to come down and fight for them. And they gathered together in the temple waiting for the Romans to come and open the door, and they figured that fire would come from heaven and destroy the Roman army. Now, these were the people that had rejected their king and crucified the Son of God. And it didn't happen the way they thought it was going to. The fire came, all right, but not from heaven. Well, it did. But it came through the Roman soldiers and it hit the temple. And the blood was supposedly knee-deep in that place when the Romans started swinging their swords and killing everybody in it and burning it to the ground and tore the thing apart so not one stone was left standing upon another. But that seemed far in the distance at this point. After he revealed that to his disciples, he went to the Mount of Olives. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Now, this is something the disciples did quite often. They came to Jesus in private, asking him questions, and he would reveal things to them that he had not revealed to the crowds. Here's an example of it. "What are the signs of your coming and of the end of the world?" Well, Jesus then answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many." The first sign that he gave them, the Son of God gave, that we're approaching the end of the world and the day of his coming, is the sign of false prophets. And if there's one word more than any other that describes the world in these last days, the religious world, it is the word deception. And the false prophets are going to come, he said. You better watch out for it. Beware lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, disguised as angels of light, dressed in sheep's clothing, but inward they are ravening wolves, and they shall deceive many. And we're talking about the church situation here. Now, going over to Revelation chapter 6, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. And one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.' And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." Now, in your outline, you noticed, after the words, "the white horse," a question mark in parentheses. The reason for that is that there's quite a bit of disagreement among commentators as to what is represented by the white horse and who the rider is. And the two choices are that the rider on the white horse is the Son of God, who is going forth to conquer, or the other choice is that the rider on the white horse is Satan, or else a false prophet, a deceiver, one who looks and pretends to be the Son of God, but he goes out to deceive the world. Most of your Lutheran commentators Probably all of them. I'm not sure about that because I haven't read all of them. In fact, I've read very few of them, but from what I understand, most of the Lutheran commentators look upon the rider of the white horse as being the Son of God. If we look and compare it with Matthew chapter 4, I think we'll come to the opposite conclusion. And I really don't see why it can't be both. That's, I think, the conclusion we're going to come to. A lion can represent Jesus Christ, the lion of the tribe of Judah, or it can represent the devil. And there's nothing inconsistent with the Holy Spirit using the same symbol to interpret different things. Here you would have the rider on the white horse being both at the same time. We say, well, you can't have both of them at the same time. You got to take your choice. You can't have it both ways. Oh, who says we can't? The Holy Spirit's writing this. Who says he can't have it both ways? The first time we look at the white horse, he's a false prophet. And the second time we look at him, he's the Son of God. Nothing inconsistent with that. We'll look at that, God willing, more next week. But that's the first one, the white horse. And then going back to Matthew chapter 24 again, in verse 6 now. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. That was the second sign that Christ mentioned that we're living in the last days. And first, the false prophets coming, deception, and the wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. Let's remember, this is something we're going to be pointing out over and over and over and over and over and over and over again as we go through Revelation. We see these terrible things happening. Don't you ever forget that they're happening because the Son of God opened the seals. Otherwise, it wouldn't happen. And this is God's judgment going into the world. That's why these things are happening. And we're in the world too. We partake of some of it, but not in the same way that the heathen people do. And the children of God can look for blessings in all these things. And as the world is exploding around us, we don't have to be afraid like the heathen people are. Their hearts are failing them with fear, and we're getting excited because the worse the situation gets, the closer we are to the Son of God coming down and taking us. So there's no fear in our hearts. There'll be wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. Why? Not because the devil is out of control and he's having his way. He's not. They must come to pass because the Heavenly Father has decreed it. That's why. So the situation is fully in control. Nothing's out of kilter here at all. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Now we swing over to Revelation chapter 6, Revelation 6 verse 3 and 4. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red. Red is the color of blood, death. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. This parallels exactly with what Christ said in Matthew chapter 24. Wars and rumors of wars. And that's what you have here in Revelation chapter 6 in the second horse, the red horse. Swinging back again to Matthew 24, verse 7. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. We're going to get into this more, but, you know, I was born 1938, which was right at the close, I believe, of the Second World War. My history's not very good. Now I was vaguely aware something was going on when sirens would start going off in the middle of the night, and all the lights in the houses would be turned off, and my father would leave with a band around his arm and go from house to house to make sure all the lights were out, and we were waiting for the Germans to come over and drop bombs on the city. And I was vaguely aware of that. And I was scared. I shouldn't have been. But these were the things that have happened. Nation shall rise against nation, a kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines. We'll stop right there for a moment. And then go back to Revelation chapter 6, verse 5. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny." Now, we think of a penny as being pretty insignificant. In those days, it was a good year's wages, I believe. A vast amount of money. It wasn't a pittance. And a measure of wheat was selling for big bucks. A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see that thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Well, here you have famine. And this is the sign of the third horse, the black one. And again, you have an exact parallel with Matthew 24. And then in verse 7 of Matthew 24, we continue, not only famine, but pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. They're kind of birth pangs that are signaling the birth of a child. In this case, the birth pangs that are signaling the very, very near approach of the coming of the Son of God. And then swinging over to the fourth seal in Revelation 6, verse 7. And again, you know, we'll be going through this in detail, God willing, in coming weeks. This is just a flash forward here this morning. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. We'll get into that in coming weeks also. And his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed him. And power was given over them, over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. So we have another parallel here. And then slipping back to Matthew chapter 24 again, verse 9. "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." And then swinging back to Revelation chapter 6 again, we're in verse 9. "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." So here you have the bitter hatred against God's people again, the persecution. "For thy sake we are killed all the day long." They're being put out of the way. And then swinging back to Matthew 24 again, verse 10, 11, 12. "And then many shall be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many." And you have again a parallel with the first one, the false prophets. They're throughout this whole thing, I believe. Oh, they're mentioned over and over and over again. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And then finally, in verses 13 and 14, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Looking back to the white horse and the rider there, I believe that's the Son of God at this point, who is going through the world and conquering with his word. And then finally, the ending of Revelation 6, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now, Matthew chapter 24 is going to be extremely helpful to us in coming weeks as we go back now and study Revelation chapter 6 in detail. And it should be obvious, the more we look into it, that the sixth chapter of Revelation is a symbolic representation of the very words that Jesus Christ spoke on the Mount of Olives back in Matthew chapter 24. It's going to be very helpful to us to understand Revelation chapter 6. For example, the rider that goes out on the red horse. Now, this is not one war that's going to be fought right before a millennial kingdom comes. It's being done right now. All of these things are being fulfilled right now. You and I are living in the middle of it. And the rider on the red horse represents war wherever it breaks out on this earth. And there's been one war after another, as Christ said there would be. Every time there's a war, every time there's swords flashing, guns going off, bombs being dropped, this is the red horse and the rider going into the world doing his thing on command of God, wherever bloodshed breaks out. In this chapter, we're going to find nothing new whatsoever. The same thing that Jesus Christ taught back in Matthew chapter 24. The one thing that we're going to be going back to over and over and over again is this. Don't ever forget that this is all under the control of God. That you've got to remember. It was the Lamb who approached the throne and took the book or the scroll that was sealed with the seven seals. And it was the Lamb who broke the seals open one after the other. It's the Lamb who sent the white horse into the world with his rider, and the red horse and the black horse and the pale horse. And it's the Lamb who sent all of this into the world. The same Lamb who tells us, all power is given to me in heaven and on earth. The same Lamb who tells us, be not afraid. It's all happening for your sakes, for your good, and you're going to find blessings in everything that comes upon the earth. And the worse things get, the closer we are to our redemption. When all these things come to pass, then lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And it may come before we get through studying Revelation 6. We'll close with a prayer. Lord Jesus, we ask that you be with us in coming weeks and fill our hearts with your Holy Spirit. Open the hidden treasures of Scripture to us. Give us the comfort from the sixth chapter of Revelation that you would have all of your people have. Hearts that are not beating full of fear, but full of confidence, knowing that you are in full control of everything that comes into our life. Pray this in your name. Amen.